Good morning, good Chodesh everyone. Today's Daf in Kedushin is Dalet. We're on Gimel Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be asking one question today, giving one answer. The truth of the matter is at the tail end of today's Daf, we're going to be asking a second question as well, but there's one question we're going to be principally dealing with, and that is Minale. How do I know that Kesef Kedushin or Kedushin can be performed with Kesef? There are three ways in which Kedushin can be affected. Kesef Shtarum Bia, that's our mission, the opening mission of the Masechta. And so yesterday the Gemara asked a very simple fundamental question, that is Minale. Where in the Torah do I see this? In other words, there is a institution of Kiddushin. Go back to the introduction of our Masechta. We talked about Kiddushin in terms of what is being really introduced into marriage. What did the Torah introduce into marriage? The Rambam writes, we saw this in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, prior to Matan Torah. So marriage just simply involved Bia. So bringing into your house, identifying who you're going to marry, bringing into your house, having relations with her. But then when the Torah came, the Torah introduced Kiddushin, Kiddushin Kicha. So that is the Torah's innovation, so to say, to marriage. And so this first step, first stage of marriage, Kiddushin, so how is it going to be effective? One of three ways, Kesef, or Shtar, or Bia. So in today's daf, we're going to be asking and answering one question. The question was already asked in yesterday's daf, and we're going to continue asking and answering the question today. Ultimately, what it's going to come down to is the following, if I can just give an outline, because the Gemara's today's daf is going to be a little bit complicated, as we're going to go weave in and out of drushes, but in terms of an outline, we'll say this at the front end, we'll say this at the back end of today's daf, it really will amount to the following. We have two sources in the Torah that teach us that Kiddushin can be affected with money. Okay, we're going to go through the two sources, and at the end of today's daf, or towards the end of today's daf, we're going to go over why the Tzrichusa, why the need of these two particular sources. Source number one we were introduced to yesterday, and that is V'yatza Chinam in Kesef. V'yatza Chinam in Kesef has nothing to do with marriage, but rather it has to do with Ama Ivriya. In the event that a person goes ahead and buys a girl, and I understand that this is not going to, it's just going to sound a little bit off to our quote-unquote, our modern ears and modern sensibilities, but If a girl is being sold by her father, so what's going to happen is v'yatzachinam in kasef, that when she becomes an adult, when she develops into adulthood, so she's going to go free in kasef, and there's not going to be any money. And the Gemara's note over there is in kasef la don zeva yesh kasef la don acher umayniu av. So in yesterday's daf, what we saw is that okay, what the Torah is telling us is the following. Is that in this scenario of exiting, there's not going to be money, but in a parallel scenario of exiting, i.e., when the daughter leaves the father, so then there is going to be money, and not only that, but the money is going to go to the father. Okay, so if you recall in yesterday's daf, really it was a twofold question that we asked yesterday. Number one, how do I know that Kesef can affect Kiddushin? And number two, when the father is the one performing Kiddushin, what does that mean, the father's performing Kiddushin? While his daughter is under his jurisdiction, so what the father can now do is that the father can go ahead and receive Kesef Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter. Father is given that right. So the second part of the question that we asked yesterday was, not only how do I know that Kesef Kiddushin works, but on top of that, how do I know that the father is the one actually collecting the money? So those are the two questions that we asked yesterday. And so yesterday we went on some pathway, which we're going to continue well into today. And the Gemara says, well, maybe I know that because the father is always going to be entitled to her earnings. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that? The Gemara quoted a pasuk in Parshas Matos, bin nureh beis avia, kol shevach nureh la'avia. The Gemara then pointed out, we did all this yesterday. I'm just simply sketching what we did yesterday so that we can just pick it up where we left off yesterday. The Gemara pointed out that, yes, it's true that the father, or that while she's a Nara, she's under the jurisdiction of her father. That part's true, but that's only as it relates to the father's ability to be mefer neder. We're not talking about a faras nedarim. We're talking about money. And the fact that when the father is mekadesh his daughter, he's going to be receiving money. So the the Gemara pointed out yesterday, okay, so this is where we got to yesterday, and we're going to pick it up where we left off. We are four lines from the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, so why don't we learn now from Kenas? Now what the Gemara is attempting to do over here is teach us the following. How do I know that the father is going to be receiving the money? Meaning, we effectively already figured out that there is money. Money affects Kiddushin. That part we already established, that the Gemara did yesterday. But now the Gemara wants to know, how do I know the address of where that money is going is to the father? So the Gemara says, maybe Kanas is going to be where we learn it from. What Kanas are we talking about? The Kanas of Ones. So Rachmanis, if a woman is violated and she is a single woman, she's not a married woman, so now she is due a Kanas. She's due a punitive fine. So the Torah says that when she's if the Ones occurred while she was a Nara, so that fine is going to be going, or for that matter, Katana as well. So the fine is going to be going to the father. Okay. All this is located in the Torah, discussed in the Gemara extensively in the third parak of Ksuvos, which we spent an entire parak discussing. Now, v'chitem aneilat miknas mamoni miknas lo yafina. So over there, the Torah is very clear that the address of where the money goes is to the father. Why don't we learn out from there? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because that's kenas. Kenas does not fall under the category of money. It is not compensatory, it is punitive. And since it's punitive, so therefore it's its own separate category, so yes, it's true. Kenas goes to the father, that doesn't mean money goes to the father. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we'll learn that from Boshes and Begam. Meaning the father is going to be the recipient of Boshes and Begam. Boshes and Begam are two of the compensatory payments. In other words, when you have bodily damage, assault, which of course rape is bodily damage, it's an assault. So that means to say that there are going to be compensatory damages. The eighth parak of Baba Kama goes through the five compensatory categories that are paid. Of those two, Boshes and Pagam is going to go to the father. So you see over here that when a woman is violated, so not only is the Kanas going to go to the father, but also the Mamanos is going to go to the father as well, Boshes and Pagam. So now that we've established that, Gemar assumes that we knew that, meaning that's a given. Well, now that we established that, so then we could say that the Kesef Kedushin should also go to the father as well. So the Gemara says, I don't know, Shani Boshes Begam, Davu Ashach Begavayu. So the Gemara says, okay, well, I'm not really sure that's going to be a great argument. Why? Because when it becomes to Boshes and Begam, the father is the owner of the Boshes and the Begam. The father is the owner of the Boshes and the Begam of his daughter. So take a look at Rashi over here, where Rashi writes that the father can marry her off to whomever he chooses. And it could be and it could be demoralizing. It could be demeaning. So the payments of Boshes and Begam, which are paying for, Boshes is paying for her embarrassment. That's the emotional suffering that she endured. And the Begam is for her depreciation. These are things that while the father can marry her off, these are things that are basically under the jurisdiction, under the ownership of the father. And so therefore, mistaber. It makes sense that that's going to go to the father. But over here, we're talking about the Kesef Kedushin. We have yet to achieve a limud in teaching us that the Kesef Kedushin is going to go to the father as well. Good. So, where are we right now? A little bit stuck. The Gemara, as we finished up yesterday's daf, the Gemara is still struggling to find out what the source in the Torah is that Kesef Kedushin is in fact going to affect Kedushin. There, we're not really stuck. In other words, V'yatza chinam ein kasef means that you're right. In the case of Amma Ivriya going free, ein kasef, there's not going to be kasef, but Ben Makom Achir, in a parallel scenario, i.e. when the father marries off the daughter, there is going to be Kesef because Kesef affects Kedushin. So effectively, we did answer part one of the question. But part two, that the father is going to be recipient of that money, so how do I know? So the Gemara says, Ella. Mistabra dechi kamemai, and when the Gemara says Ella over here, and in general, you should know this, whenever the Gemara says the word Ella, basically the Gemara says, well, let's start again. Okay, we're not starting all over again. But Ella does clear the system a little bit. In other words, we just wound down a windy path in terms of how do I know that the father is going to be receiving the kesef. We came to a dead end when the Gemara says the word Ella, so we are going to be backtracking. It's always a bit of a question how far we're backtracking when you see the Gemara use the word Ella, but we are going to be backtracking and we're going to go back. Rashi over here is very clear in terms of how far we're going to backtrack. La'olam, take a look at that last Rashi in the Amud. La'olam ikra kama dein kesef la'adon zeh nafka. We're going back to the original assertion of the Gemara that how do I know kesef kedushin affects, kesef affects kedushin and the money goes to the father? We go back to the pasuk. So Rashi says that take us all the way back to the beginning of the entire sugya. V'yasa chinam ein kesef. And Rashi writes, udikashalach ve'ema lidida. And now to the Gemara's assertion that, okay, I know that Kesef affects Kedushin, maybe the money should go to her. So what the Gemara is going to tell us is, Mistabra, let's see it in the Gemara. Rashi effectively is paraphrasing the Gemara. We go back to the Gemara, we're going to see it inside the Gemara. So, Ela Mistabra dechi kamemayet, yitzia dekavasa kamemayet. So the Gemara says like this, look, What we're going to be doing over here is the following, is that we're going to take the two cases and put them side by side. As far as the Torah's case is concerned, the Torah is describing where a woman was sold into becoming an Ami Ivriya by the father, and now she is going to be going free because of her adulthood. And now that she's achieved adulthood and she goes free, v'yatza chinam, she goes out free, ein kasaf, and there's not going to be money. Who would have been the recipient of the money? Meaning the Torah says there is no money. But who would have been the recipient of the money had there been money? The answer is very simple. No, in the case of the Ama Ivriya, the owner, right? In other words, the one who purchased her now has ownership over her. And had there been money, so the Torah says it would have gone to the owner. The Torah says, I know that's what you would have thought. V'yatza chinam in kasef. No, the owner is not going to get the money. Now, all I have to do is now take that construct and now move it over to the case of a father marrying off his daughter. And we're saying that in the case of the Ama Ivriya, there's no money. In the case of the father, there is money. Now, who do you think the recipient's going to be? Meaning, as long as I'm looking at these two cases side by side, and I'm just watching the parallel work between these two cases, in the case of the Ama Ivriya, if the owner is the one not receiving the money, in the case of the father is the one who is receiving the money. Oh. So the Gemara says, Mistabra. It's reasonable to suggest. So Gemara says, we're on the very top of Dalam and Aleph. No, not reasonable. V'halo dam yahayitziya lahayitziya, asam nafka lemirshos adun legamri. V'hachi akati mechashim misir l'chupa. So the Gemara says, not comparable. When we have the Ama Ivriya who is exiting her owner, so what kind of exit are we talking about? A full exit. That's it. She has nothing more to do with her owner. The Ama Ivriya who was sold to become an Ama Ivriya, so once she achieves adulthood, you'll notice, by the way, so far, I didn't say what kind of adulthood. Nara, Bogeres, stay tuned. That's coming up a little bit later on. But once she achieves adulthood, so that's it. She totally is severed from her owner. When the daughter gets married, when the father marries off his daughter, is that a total severance? Not yet. Not yet. Why? Because she only underwent Kiddushin. So the father still has some jurisdiction over her in that she's not fully married. Only at the point where she goes through both stages of marriage of Kiddushin and Nisuin, then and only then is she totally removed from the father. So the Gemara says that although you're trying to compare the two cases, they're not perfectly comparable. The Gemara says, I'm going to still argue they are comparable. So, So the Gemara says, yeah, but when a girl undergoes Kiddushin, the father marries her via Kiddushin, so the father is in fact going to be severed from her, divorced from her. In what way? Hafars Nadarim. Now, this is going to be a little bit tough to argue. I'm going to try to explain the Gemara's point over here, but as you're going to see, I'm going to be limited in my understanding. You see, when a girl undergoes Kiddushin, the father no longer has the ability exclusively to go ahead and to be made for her neder. Meaning, prior to Kiddushin, when a girl was a ketana, or for that matter, even a nara, so the father can go ahead and be made for neder. He can annul any one of her vows. Ah. But now that she underwent Kiddushin, he no longer has exclusive right to do so. In other words, he can only do it, but only as a joint venture together with the chassan. He's more than a chassan, by the way. He's a husband. In other words, he was mekadesher. So because he lost that exclusivity, so the Gemara says it's a yitzia lagamre. Now, where I get stuck at this point in time is, wait one second, yitzia lagamre, meaning the father still has a vote in terms of the annulling of her vow. So it's a little bit funny how the Gemara now is using this to make a point that it was yatsa legamre. In other words, it's a full severance from the father. Well, not exactly. Meaning the father still has joint ownership to be made for nedarim. So I admit that I don't fully understand the Gemara's point over here. However, I get the basic idea. The basic idea is that according to Rav Ashi says that it is a good limud. How do I know that Kesef affects Kiddushin? And how do I know that the father is a recipient of that Kesef Kiddushin? Mistabra. Makes sense. In the case of the Ama Ivriya, she goes free. V'yatza chinam ein kasef. Good. And now I move that over to the father when the father marries her off. Meaning, in this case, there is going to be Kesef. And how do I know the father is going to be receiving Kesef? Makes sense. It's logical. Meaning, if the person in Amma Ivriya, if the owner in the Amma Ivriya is the one not receiving the kesef, so then it makes sense that in the case of the father obviously is running parallel to the owner, and therefore the father is the one who is going to be getting kesef. And now everyone prepare themselves for a tangent. Meaning, what we're queuing up right now is going to be that there's going to be a second source. However, it's going to take us a while to get to that second source, but it's going to take us, we're going to have to complete Daf Dal Amud Aleph and a little bit of Amud Beis, as the Gemara now is going to be taking us on a brief tangent in the world of Amma Ivriya. So everyone just settle back. No, not settle back. The Gemara is coming up are a little bit challenging. But don't lean back, but we're going to go off on a bit of a tangent. The Havi Yatzachinam Lachidas Ami Bailech Detanya Detanya. Now we have spent the balance of yesterday's daf and the beginning of today's daf telling us that what's the source of kesef kedushin v'yatzachinam ein kesef. The Gemara says, don't I need it to teach me something else? Meaning something having to do with Amma Ivriya. The Tanya we learned in the Brisa v'yatzachinam ele yemei bagros ein kesef ele yemei naros. Now, in other words, when does she go free? At what point of maturation does she go free? Now I have to tell you that the Brisa here is not clear. We're going to clarify the brisa later today. And that is, do you know when she goes free? When she's a nara. Do you know when she goes free? She's a bogeris. Now later, of course, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Everyone, we all know at this point in Seder Nashim, how development works when it comes to a girl. From 0 to 12, she's a katana. From 12 to 12 and a half, she's a nara. And from 12 and a half and above, she's a bogeris. And the brisa tells us that she goes free when she's a bogeris, she goes free when she's a nara. And hopefully you're thinking to yourself right now, well, if she goes free when she's an Ara, then she doesn't have to go free when she's a Bagaris. That already occurred. Okay, hold that thought. We're going to come back to that thought in just a moment. But right now, what the Gemara is bothered by is, I need the Drasha, I need the Pasuk to teach me when she goes free. And you want to start telling me that the Pasuk here is to teach me about Kesef Kiddushin? Like, what are you doing? So, Amar Ravin M.K. Lemakra, Ein Kesef Ladozeh, Aval Yesh Kesef Ladon Acher. So Ravina tells us that we're allowed to make double drushas over here. Why? Because the extra yud. You see, the Torah could have said v'yasachinam ein kesef. The word ein could have been spelt aleph nun, and there's an extra yud over there. The yud allows for that extra drusha. Kesef ladon echer ma'niu av. I'm sorry, I didn't finish reading the sentence. Now I did. So the Gemara says the extra yud allows for that second drusha. Umimai dedeshkin and hachi detanya. The Gemara says really. An extra yud is allowing for a drasha. The Gemara says, yes, absolutely. It's precedented. Consider the following, Vizera Ein Lam. Okay, a Bas Kohen who returns back to her father's house. She married a Yisrael. Once she's married to Yisrael, she cannot eat shurim anymore. But then that marriage terminated, death, divorce, and she went back to her family. So going back to her family allows her to resume and return to eating shurim, provided she didn't have a child. The Torah says, "Vezera ein la, ein li ala zera, zera zara minayin tamalamer zera ein la, ayin la." So the extra yud right now seems to be darshan that even if she has a grandchild, i.e., in a scenario where she didn't have a child, or she did have a child, sorry, the only way she's going to have a grandchild is by having a child. I know how these things work. So she did have a child, but Rachmanus, her child died, but before her child died, her child also procreated, and she now has a second generation. She has a grandchild. That too will impede her ability to go back to her father's home and eat truma. V'ein li ela zera kasher. V'ein li ela zera kasher. Zera pasul minayin tamalamer zera ein la ayin la. An additional point to make, and that is the following. Let's say the child that she has is not a kasher, a pasul. She had illicit relations resulting in a pasul child, but nevertheless that child too will impede her ability to return and eat truma. V'hafik lezera zera. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. What you just did is you darshan twice from the extra yud. You darshan grandchild and you also darshan the zera pasul. So zera zera lo itzirch kra de b'nei banim harein kebanim. Ki itzirch kra lezera pasul. The grandchild, I really didn't need a drasha. In other words, a grandchild is equivalent to a child. We went over this in Yevamos. We did this as we discussed the halachas of the mitzvah peru revu. That a grandchild is equivalent to a child. See the Gemara back there in the sixth parak of Yevamos for that discussion. I don't need a drasha for that, but I do need a drasha for Zera Pasul. Anyway, the point of all this is that what do we do with that extra yud? We can darshan the extra yud. So over here, v'yatzachinam ein kesef, or ein kasef, So we darsh an extra yud. V'tanu gufi minale de darsh achi amrik sav me'in belam u'me'in yavami deloksi behu yud v'hachiksi beyush v'aminale joshu da'asa. And the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, as to your position, that we can go ahead and darshan without the extra yud. How do I know that it can even be written without an extra yud? The Gemara gave two examples. We're not going to go through both examples. Anyway, vitzrich lemichtav kiddushel la'aviyah, vitzrich lemichtav ma'iseyah del la'aviyah. Now, if you, the Gemara here is just going to make a summary point and try to understand it. Okay, what goes to the father? So the ketzav kiddushin goes to the father. We've just established that. Okay, I mean, in other words, just. Over the course of yesterday's daf and today's daf, we established. Kesef Kiddushin goes to the father. We also pointed out in yesterday's Gemara that Maisa Yadayim go to the father as well. As long as she's under the jurisdiction of the father, so both of those are going to go to the father. Earnings and Kesef Kiddushin. Why do I need the Torah to teach me both? The Kesef Kiddushin goes to the father because what did she do to earn that money? Nothing. She didn't work for that money. So therefore, I could have made the argument that that goes to the father. But Maisei Adai, that's her earnings. She worked for that money. I would have said, had we not had a drasha, that the money should have gone to the father. Sorry, the money should have gone to her.
We're talking about Maisei Adai pre or post-kedushin?
No, just general.
General.
The Maisei Adai of a katana and a nara go to the father. V'yashmina Maisei Adai deka mitzana minei. Ava kedusha demiyamaka se la ema didahavu tricha. And I could also make the following point. Had we said ma'ase yadayim, so dekamidzana mine. In other words, right now, where does she go home for dinner? She goes to her father's home for dinner. So there, I could have made the argument that earnings should go to the father. But when it comes to kedusha miyama. In other words, that was a bonus, right? A gift, if you will. It's not a gift. But in other words, I'll go back to my previous description. It's a bonus. So ema dida, so maybe she would be able to keep it. So tzricha, so the Gemara says, therefore it's necessary. I need the Torah to tell me that both Maaseh Yadayim and Kesef Kiddushin do in fact go to the father. Gufa, we are still well within our tangent over here. Meaning as far as the point is concerned, point has been made. How do I know that there's Kesef Kiddushin, Kesef effects Kiddushin, and if the father is the one who is being Mekadish's daughter, then he is the address and the recipient of the Kesef Kedushin we've established. V'yatza chinam main kasef. Fine. And then the Gemara just went into a little bit of a discussion of how exactly does that drasha work? Don't I need that pasuk to teach me a different point? Granted, that's true, but we have the extra yud. And we also went over the point today that how do I know that the father is entitled to not only the Kesef Kedushin of his minor daughter, but on top of that, also the earnings as well. Why do I need the Torah to teach me both? We just went through that as well. Gufa. So here, we're going to go back to the point that we made earlier. Ama Ivriya. We are now off-road. We are now off the discussion of Kesef Kiddushin. We're going to come back to it in just a little bit. But Ama Ivriya. So what do we say that way she goes free? When is she going to go free? So V'yatza Chinam Ein Kesef and we darshan. Yatza chinam, that's Yimei Bagrus. In Kasef, that's Yimei Naris. And now we get to ask the question which I foreshadowed just minutes earlier. And that is, what? If she goes free when she's an Ara, I don't need the Torah to tell me that she goes free when she's a Bagaris. V'licht of Rechman and Iris, v'lo ba'i Bagrus. So I got this great idea. If the end result is that she goes free when she's an Ara, so why doesn't the Torah simply say she goes free when she's an Ara? Okay, good. Also a fair question, but in other words, the Gemara's question over here is just really that's the ace card. If the Torah would just simply say Nara, then game over. Then we know. So Amar Rava Bazevelimet Alzeh. So the Gemara says Bazevelimet Alzeh, meaning what the Torah now does is that the Torah gives us two ambiguous terms, right? Nah, it's not ambiguous, but in other words, there are two phrases that are able to be darshan. Had the Torah only given us one phrase, I could have said that one phrase would have gone on, I don't know, maybe Nara, or maybe Bogeres. Once I have the double phrase, Bazeh V'limed Alzeh. I have two drashas. So if one drasha is Bogeres, the next one has got to be Nara. Meaning, what else could it be? Okay. And I'll give you an example of where we have this idea of Baz Vevelim et al Zeh. I admit that throughout Shas, we're not going to see this that often. Okay, but here in the beginning of Kiddushin, here we have it. So what we're describing over here is an Eved Ivri that's owned by a Kohen. Now I say ownership, by the way, to be clear, a Kohen does not own an Eved Ivri. And a Kohen does own an Eved Kanani, and an Eved Kanani is allowed to eat Truma because he's king in Kaspo. An Eved Ivri, however, when owned, I'm using the word ownership over here just as a description, not legally. When a Kohen owns an Eved Ivri, so the Eved Ivri cannot eat Truma. He's not king in Kaspo. He's not under the ownership of the Kohen. So what is he? Indentured. In other words, he's going to be indentured until his debt is paid off or until 6 years. Alternatively, if after 6 years he says to his Kohen owner, I really like it here. Like it's life is really good. So then he can get his ear pierced and then he could work him up until Yovel, which is what's called a Eved Ivri Hanirza or Eved Ivri Le'olam. Forever. Although forever over here is slight exaggeration. It's not forever. It's up until Yovel. Now, neither of them, meaning your standard Eved Ivri or the Eved Ivri Anirza, neither of them are allowed to eat Truma. Why? Again, because the answer is they're not owned. It's not property of the Kohen. So, Ilu Kain, Hayisi Omer Toshav Zekanu Kinyan Shonim. I'm sorry. So, what just happened? I lost my spot. Vlo Yomer Sachir Vani Omer. Okay. So, me did the have, I'm going to go back because I just lost my spot. Me did the have, Toshav Asachir Ditanya. Toshav Zekanu Kinyan Olam. The Toshav in the Torah being described as the one who can't eat Truma. That is the Eved Ivri Anirza. And Sachir Zerekanu Kinyan Shanim. That's the Eved, that's your standard Eved Ivri. He was only going to be working for 6 years. Yomar Tosha Velo Yomar Sachir Vani Omer. Kanu Kinyan Olam Eino Ocha El Kanu Kinyan Shanim Lo Kol Shekein. And the argument is very simple. If your Nirza, who is going to be here for the foreseeable future, if he can't eat Truma, certainly your standard 6 year Eved Ivri can eat Truma as well. Ilu Kin Aisi Omer Tosha Zerekanu Kinyan Shanim Ava Kanu Kinyan Olam. Ochel basachir v'limid al toshav shafa pisha kanu kinyan olam eino ochel. So why does the Torah use the double language of toshav v'sachir? Because if the Torah only used one of those languages, I would have said, you know, if I had to choose which one can't eat, I would say the 6 year can't eat. But the nirza who's going to be there indefinitely, oh, he can eat truma. That's what I would have said. That's why the Torah uses the double language of Toshav and Sachir, Bazeh, Velimed Alzeh. Okay. So, Amalei Abayi Midami Hasam Trei Gufei Nenu, Dechinami Kasvarechman Toshav Nirza Lo Yochal, Vahadik Sivi Idach, HaVetzachir Milsa Dasi Bekavachomer, Umilsa Dasi Bekavachomer, Tarach Bekosav Leikra. So, the Gemara says, look, over there, those are two different people. Meaning it's possible, as Rashi points out over here, that a Kohen could be under the ownership of both a Toshav and a Sachir. A Kohen could literally have a 6 year Eved Ivri working for him and simultaneously also a Nirza working for him as well. That's possible. Elahacha, but over here, what are we talking about? A girl who's developing and maturing and she's going to go free. And when does she go free? When she achieves a stage of adulthood. Now, there are two stages of adulthood. There's going to be Nara and there's going to be Bulgaris. Over here, we're talking about the same girl. So you can't use the methodology of Bazev Limeid Alzev as we're describing right now a single girl and at what point of maturation is she going to go free? Elahacha chad gufahi. Ki nafka labanaros bagros mai bai gabe. So over here, we're talking about one girl. And when she goes free, when she's a Nara, so then there's nothing more to discuss. So in the case of the Eved Ivri of Nirza versus standard Eved Ivri, I need the Torah to go over both categories because the Kohen can own both. But over here, when it comes to an owner owning an Ama Ivriya, so it's one girl, she went for Yanara, nothing more to discuss. And what the Torah could have and what the Gemara is arguing it should have done is just simply say the word Nara and be done with it. Elam Rabbi Lonitzuchah Beggar Dailanis. So Abayi says, okay, So what we're going to have to say is as follows. Meaning, we're just trying to wrap our heads around, if an Amma Ivriya goes free by Nara, so then what the Brisa says, and she goes free at Bogeris, like what? Like what that, I don't understand. Well, there's no point to that. If she went free when she was a Nara, clearly there's nothing more to talk about when she's a Bogeris. Abaye says, I'll tell you why I need Bogeris when she's an islandess. What happens when a woman's an island? She goes through no physical maturation. Her only maturation is expressed only by her moving on in years. An islandess will not be developing the physical signs of maturation. The Gemara Nida, I mean, happens to be that's empirical, so we would know this even without the Gemara, but the Gemara Nida goes over the actual physical maturation signs. So anyway, so an islandess will not be going through those physical maturation signs. So therefore, the only way that she's going to be achieving a maturation is only by her moving on in years. She skips Nara. An islandess does not have a Nara stage. So now, if you have a girl who's being sold into becoming an Amma Ivriya, so, and she's an islandess, which means that she's not going to be a Naira. So when does she go free? The answer is Bogeris. Abaye says, that's the need of the second drasha.
Isn't Nara defined by Shanim, not Simanim?
Both. The answer is both.
I thought for a male it was. But for a Naira is...
It's both. The Gemara Nida says that Naira comes with, it has to come with physical maturation. Okay. So no, let's talk about a beggar dialing. I mean, a nairus tape bagros, not be nairus tape bagros lo tape kamashvalan. So I would have thought that maybe she goes free when she becomes a naira, i.e., when she turns 12. No, turning 12 and becoming a naira requires both years and simanim. So over here, when I have my islandess who does not have simanim, so therefore she has to be. It's going to be coming at bogeris. So the Gemara says, well, here's what I don't understand. Even if we didn't have a drasha, we would have figured it out. We would have figured it out. Why? Because consider the following. When does a girl leave her father? So, a girl leaves her father. So, a girl leaves her father not when she's an Ara, as we already established at the beginning of today's daf, but rather a girl leaves her father when she's a Bogeris. Okay. And over here, by Amma Ivriya, if your standard Amma Ivriya is leaving by Nairus, as we've already established, so over here, if let's say a girl doesn't go through the Nairus stage, but only goes to Bogeris, i.e. an islandess, so for sure she would be leaving by Bogeris, meaning it's a Kavachomer. So the Gemara says, "Ela amar maber avashi lo nitzucha ela leikar zvina da ilonis." So maber avashi comes to teach us that. Do you know what the drasha is coming to teach me again? The Brisa says, "Vayatza chinam." That's a naira. Ain kasef. That's a bogeris. What do I need that for? So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you what I need it for." Ikar zvina da ilonis. The fact that a girl could be sold by her father into becoming an Amma Ivriya. And we already know she's an islandess. Now, how do we already know she's an islandess? Not sure. But we already know she's an islandess. And the fact that the father can even sell her, that we need a pasuk for. Why do I need a pasuk? Saka dafka manadasi simaninaris avizvina dolasi simaninaris lohavizvina izvina zvina. So kamash malam viyatzachinam v'chule. So the Gemara says, because here's what I would have thought. That becoming a Naira is a prerequisite for the sale even at the point of origination. I might have thought that the only one who's eligible to become an Amma Ivriya is only someone who's going to be achieving the stage of Naira. And that's why I need the Drasha to tell me, not necessarily. In other words, even though she goes free by Naira, but Naira is not a prerequisite for the sale. Just to be sold just simply means you have to be a girl. That's all. And an islandess is a girl and she can be sold. When is she going to go free? The answer is Bagras. Now, even though it's true that even though we have a Kavachomer, sometimes we say that even though we had a Kavachomer, the Torah goes out of its way to spell it out. The Gemara says that's true if we have no other explanation. But over here we have another explanation. So even though we normally say, not normally, but we sometimes say, the Gemara says that's only in the absence of alternate explanations. Okay. Your timing of entrance is perfect. That was a long tangent. That was a tangent. Meaning as far as the main point of what we've gone over yesterday and today, how do I know that that Kesef affects Kedushin? And when the father's being Mekadesh his daughter while she's a Katana, how do I know that the father is going to, and by the way, and we can also add, because now we know, not only when she's a Katana, but when she's a Nara as well. So how do I know that the father is going to be the recipient of the Kesef Kedushin? The answer is, V'yatza Chinam in Kesef. Meaning we're taking the Parsha, the Pasuk, the Parsha of Am Ivriya, and we're saying that over there the Torah goes out of its way to say that there's an absence of money. Which means that in a parallel scenario, there is going to be money. And just like over there, who is not getting the money? That's going to be the owner. So in our case over here, who is getting the money? That's going to be the father. And that is effectively source number one of how do I know that Kesef Kedushin, that Kesef affects Kedushin. And we also explain how do I know that the father, when being Mekadesh's daughter, is going to be receiving the Kesef Kedushin. V'tana ma'aseh le mehacha, d'tanya. And now the Gemara points out that we have a second source as well. This one is by far and away much more popular. In fact, even in our Masechta, we are just day three into the Masechta, and we already cited this drasha twice. So part of the popularity of the drasha is that whenever the Gemara makes reference to this question of how do I know Kesef Kedushin works, so the Gemara quotes the second drasha. So it's by far and away more popular, right? Those who are not currently learning the Gemara Kedushin like we are right now, probably are not going to have any recollection. I speak for myself. Probably are not going to have a recollection that there's another drasha as well of a Yatzachina Main Kasaf. Okay, here we are with the second drasha of Tana Maaseh Le Mehacha D'Tanya Ki Yikach Ish Isha U'Ba'ala V'Haya Im Lo Simcha Chein Be'Inav Ki Matza Ba V'Chulei En Kicha El B'Kesef. So when the Torah gives a description of Kiddushin, the Torah calls it Kicha, right? That's the Torah's usage. Now Kicha is going to send us to another parsha. V'Cheinu Amar Nasati Kesef HaSadeh Kach Mimeni. And what we have over here is Gzeira Shava. Meaning in the parsha of Chayisara, when Avram is purchasing Maras HaMachpelah, so the Torah's description over there is that the purchasing, which obviously is done through money, and that's not conjecture, meaning open up the Chumash over there, read the Pesukim inside. He purchased it with money. Century coins. Right. So that's the Rashi over there. Over La Socher. So anyway, the purchase of the property is with money. So Kiddushin, the Kicha, the Kinyan of Kiddushin, is also going to be done through money as well. V'alo dinhu. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have Gzeira Shava. So isn't it a din? Meaning, can we deduce this through a Kavachomer? Meaning, Uma'am Ivriya Sheinu Niknas Bebiya Niknas Bekesev. Ama Ivriya that cannot be acquired via Bia, but can be acquired through Kesev. Zusha Niknas Bebiya Inu Din Shetiknas Bekesev. So you see that when it comes to a woman who are the Kinyan, the Kiddushin can be done through Bia, so for sure it should be done through Kesef as well. Yevama Tochev, the Gemara says, yeah, but I can pircha, I can challenge that Kavachomer from the following, Yevama. She niknes be'bia ve'inu niknes be'kesef. So Yevama could be acquired through Bia and can't be acquired through Kesef. Mala Yevama, let me just finish the flow and then afterwards I'll pause. So Mala Yevama shekeini niknes be'shtar. How can I use Yavama as a challenge? You know, Yavama can't be acquired through Shtar, Tomer position, Niknas Bishtar, and meanwhile a girl through Kedushin, or a girl, a woman through Kedushin can be acquired through Shtar. So Tamar Lomer ki kach ish. So now I have the drasha. So the Gemara says, now, if you were following carefully, and I ran through that way too quickly, I admit. But if you've been following carefully, basically what we did is we sustained the Kavachomer. And then the Gemara says, but we have a drasha. Well, wait one second. If I sustain the Kal V'Chomer sustained, so then I don't need a drasha. Ha lam likra, ha asiyallah. That's the Gemara's question. I'm Rav Ashi, Mishum Dikala Meimra Mikar Dedina Pircha. So the Gemara says, the Kal V'Chomer was no good even from the beginning. Even as you started with the Kal V'Chomer, it was no good. Mehecha Kamaisis La Me'ama Ivriya. Because where is it coming from? It's coming from Ama Ivriya. Mala Ama Ivriya. Shekin Yotza Bekesef. Meaning Ama Ivriya. How does that relationship terminate? Money. Kiddushin. How does that relationship terminate? Not with money. Tomer Bezushin Yotza Bekesef. Tamar Lama Ki Yikach Ish. So in other words, the Kal V'Chomer was never good. Never good even from the point of origination. Okay? You know, always have to wonder, by the way, if it wasn't good from the point of origination, so then why do we go through the exercise? Okay, I don't know. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
The comparison to Yavama doesn't really make sense because that one is like an exceptional case where there's like a Zika and
perfect. So perfect. Your point is so good. It's coming up. It's coming up in the Gemara. Okay, so now here's a great summary of today's daf, which means I don't have to summarize it because the Gemara just does. And that is that how do I know that a woman's kiddushin can be affected with money? Answer, I have two drashas, v'yatzachinam, and I have the gzereshav of kiyikach. Why do I need both? D'ikas of rechmane kiyikach av amini kiddushin, d'yayiv labal didahavu, kas rechmane v'yatzachinam. Because if I only had the drasha, if I only had the gzereshava, I wouldn't know that in the case where the father's making Mekadosh's daughter, he becomes the address of where that money goes to. That's why I need the drasha of v'yatzachinam. V'ikas of rechmane v'yatzachinam hava amina hecha di'ava ihi lididei v'kidashto hava kiddushe. Kas of rechmane ki yikach v'lo ki sikach. If I only had the drasha of yatzachinam, I would have thought that money affects kiddushin. Which way? Which direction? I don't know. In other words, v'yatzachinam just tells me that there has to be money involved. Maybe it can go from him to her. Maybe it can go from her to him. I don't know. The ki yikach is coming to tell me that it's one directional, that the money can only affect kiddushin when it goes from him to her, not from her to him. Okay. That's why I need both. Let's go one more section in. Uba'ala. Malama shenikdas bebiya. Okay, the pasuk goes on to say, ki yikach ish isha uba'ala. Ba'ala means that he's intimate with her. So and that is going to also be a means in which it can be affecting kiddushin. V'alo dinhu, the Gemara says now, why do I need a drasha? Isn't it a kal v'chomer? Ma yavama she niknas because of niknas bebiya, zusha niknas because of eno din she niknas bebiya. You know, yavama can be affected with bia and not with money. And a regular woman can be affected, kiddushin can be affected with money. For sure should be affected, can be affected with bia. Ami yavriya tochich she niknas because of a niknas bebiya. Well, Amma Yivriya is going to challenge that kal v'chomer. Amma Yivriya can only be affected with money and not with bia. So Amma Yivriya she'in kinyana l'shem ishus. Amma Yivriya is not being acquired in terms of ishus. Now, you probably heard me say, if you remember correctly, that Amma Yivriya should lead to ishus. That part's true. But the actual purchase itself is not ishus. Tomer bezusha kinyana l'shem ishus. But when you are being mekadesh a woman with kesef, that obviously is the ishus. We have a drasha. So the Gemara says, V'lama likra ha'asila. Again, if you're following carefully, we just sustain the kavachomer. And then the Gemara says, now I have a drasha. Well, if I sustain the kavachomer, I don't need a drasha. Am ravashi mishem dika lamem remikara didina pircha mehecha kamasi salmi yavama. Mala yavama shekain zekuka v'omedes, tamar bezu shein zekuka v'omedes, tamar lamar uva Allah. So the Gemara, to which the Gemara says, the kavachomer never was good. You wanted to learn from Yavama that Bia works. You can't learn it from Yavama. Ben made the point. The Gemara is making the point. And that is when it comes to Yibum, she already has a Zika. She is primed. Okay? Sorry for speaking so graphically. But she is primed. So so over there, the fact that Bia works by Yavama is understood in the sense that she already has an element of marriage. When you're talking about a woman that has no elements of marriage and you're being mekadesher, so if all I had was a kal v'chomer, that by itself wouldn't do it because I can't compare it to Yavama. Okay. That kind of takes us to the end of today's daf. Literally, the end of today's daf and perfect. In other words, how do I know about Kesef Kiddushin? So the Gemara already made its summary statement. We have two drushas, v'yatzachinam, and the drusha of kicha kicha misdei Ephron, and the Gemara concluded today with the necessity for both. Additional to that, the Gemara also tells us, how do I know about Bia being a means, a mechanism of Kinyanim? So the Gemara says we have a drasha for that as well. I say drasha, by the way, it's a little bit more than a drasha, meaning it's a pasuk. Okay, so I'm not sure if my word drasha is proper usage over here. What's left, of course, is shtar that comes up in tomorrow's daf. Stay tuned. And also coming up, the Gemara is going to talk about the condemnation. Chachamim were very, very unhappy with people that were Mekadosh Bebiya, but that's coming up later.